the right and privilege as believers of the church age to call thee our Father. We know that in dispensations past, no believer had that prerogative. And yet because of our relationship to thy Son, that we can call thee Abba, that is Father. And now as we've come together for the purpose of learning from thy truth, we ask that God the Holy Spirit will instruct us, open our minds and understanding to the things that are taught, that we might continue our advance to the high calling, as well as the momentum that's involved through hope. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, we are studying the doctrine of confidence and or hope as per the 8th verse of Philemon. You remember that Paul says, for I have the confidence to order you to do what I'm asking you to do. In other words, Paul realized as an apostle, he was assured that he had the right to order Philemon to take back Onesimus. So with that, we took up the concept of a surety or hope. And of course, as we indicated initially in our study, that what the word hope means today in 1994 is far from what it meant in 1611 when the King James came out, and the use of the term has been perpetuated, and then it has lost its meaning phenomenally. Many words, as we've seen in English, have changed to the point where they become opposite of what they originally meant. This is one of them. The word hope anticipated with confidence certain events that were going to occur in the future based on the potentiality of the present. And so when you understand the word hope, you understand it in the light of two things. One, a potential, something that is possible here in time. And then there's something that is missing that makes that hope a reality. So the missing factor between hope and the potentiality, as we know, is the teaching of God's Word. And then we divided it up into three areas, X, Y, and Z. X equals salvation with the imputation of eternal life. Y equals blessing in time with that as an imputation. And then Z equals reward based on imputations 1 and 2, X and Y, combining to make up the reality of Z. And as I suggested the other evening, and I can't reinforce this enough, once you go from 1 and it's complete, the hope has been done away by the reality of that hope. For instance, the very fact that we have eternal life imputed to us at the point of salvation, we now move immediately into Y, pressing on to blessing in time. You have confident assurance of eternal life. You know that because the Holy Spirit bears witness by the indwelling of the Spirit. If there are doubts in your mind, it's only because you haven't given the Spirit of God his rightful place in your life. Doubts are simply based on the fact that arrogance fears something that somebody else is going to do on their behalf. These are people that want to be control freaks. They're individuals that want to have control of their lives totally, and they don't want to in any way have anybody else having any control of their life. It's interesting, the more and more I hear people say that I'm independent, the more they're speaking through their hats, because the more they are reliant upon somebody else for their independency. Total independence simply means that you need no one under any circumstances. And the more I hear from people say, well, I'm an independent person, and they're sucking from this one and drawing from this one, they're like a straw over the individual. And they're saying they're independent. They're not independent at all. And none of us are. Independence is just another excuse for arrogance. So we change the term. We say we're independent. See? That's not independence. None of you here are independent. You may think you are. You say, well, I'm an island unto myself. Bull! No one is. And there's no such thing as a self-made person. Your parents were involved in making you to begin with. And then you didn't become self-made by your great accomplishments. You off somebody. That's the way that works. That's what I call Operation Suck. And that's what some people do their entire life. They're just simply going through life, drawing from this one, drawing from that one. And when they're through, it's, you know, like a spitball out the other side. You ever felt like you were used? Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You get to the point where you just have it up to about here, especially when they've sucked you dry and they can't get anything else from you anymore. Well, you see, so we project that into our Christian lives. We say, well, I did for this one and they sucked me dry, and then I did for that one. Now I'm totally independent, you know. And so I come along and I say to you, now you've got to depend on the Lord and you've got to commit all to Him. And hey, yeah, sure. And so all you see there is a big straw in the sky coming down, see? No, God doesn't want anything from you. God wants to give you something. And it's called blessing. Initially, it's called salvation. And the hope of salvation is realized when the missing factor, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is accomplished. The reality then of hope one is replaced by the potential of hope two. Remember in our formula we said there must be a potential for there to be a hope. If there's no potential, if there's no possibility of acquiring anything, you're not going to hope for it. See my point? Unless you're living in an illusion. That would be like somebody who's a wild gambler hoping that they could win every lottery and roller, what do they call that? That, not rollerball, what's that other one? Powerball, all at once in 1 week. Well, I suppose there is a potential. The odds would be absolutely astronomical. I think you'd have to start counting in light numbers, as in light years. Why, even winning in Arizona is almost astronomical. What is it? One in, does anyone know? Carl? One in what? 5 million? 20 million? That's not much of a potential, is it? One in 20 million. Divide that up into our group and you see where you sit on the scale of potentiality. All right, so the potential then of blessing is there. But some believers will never be blessed because they're not even aware of their potential, failure of the communicator. Well, that's not your excuse. I try to communicate as often as possible the fact that you have the potentiality of blessing in time, and the only reason why you will never realize it is because of you, not because of the potentiality. So you hope on the basis of what is potential. But your hope is confident assurance of a future event, not only based on the potentiality, the possibility, but then there is something that gives that potentiality value. And we simply call it Bible doctrine or Bible teaching. Don't let the word doctrine scare you. It simply means teaching from didasko, who is the teacher. So the doctor, you see, presents doctrine. The teacher teaches teaching. That's the way it goes. All right, so if you want to be blessed in time, it's up to you. It's like God is saying, here's the package called blessing. Do you want it? Yes. Well, meet the qualification for it. What's that? Capacity. You have the potentiality, but God will never give you anything that you're not capable of bearing. He'll never allow anything to your in your life that you are not able to bear. Just the way it works. Of course, you think some things are unbearable, which means you divorce yourself from the reality of the truth of what God has just said. So in effect, you're saying God's wrong. Where he says there's no temptation taken you such as common to man, that God has not made with a temptation a way of escape. Who fails? God? No. His word? No. Who's left? Well, it's us-ins. God made the provision for blessing. And by the way, when was that blessing provided for? In eternity past. And it's been sitting there waiting since eternity. And it's got your name on it. It's got my name on it. And it's awful to realize that some will live and die and never open their beautiful box of blessings. Now, is there anyone here that got a small little box that was just a little bit heavier than clothes, but certainly lighter than a brick? And around Christmas time, somebody said to you, open this and you'll be delighted. And you haven't opened it yet? Am I? No? Some of you can't even wait. You ever watch kids open gifts? I often think wrapping paper for children is ludicrous. I really do. Number one, they don't admire it at all. They don't say, what beautiful paper. Now, see, the older you get, the more cautious you are in removing the paper. When you get real old, you save the bowl, the paper, and you try to reuse the tape if possible. That's like my wife was telling me years ago. Apparently, we had a person here that used to actually wash out Kleenex and hang it on the... and then another one that, and washed ice cubes out. Let's say you'd have a party and there were still ice cubes left in the glasses. Take them out, wash them off, put them back in the refrigerator. You know what that's called? Cheap! Did anybody ever tell that woman it's only frozen water? Now, I know two people that weren't smiling a bit. You know why? You do that. And you probably wrap your ice cubes in the cleaned out tissues. I can't believe it. But I've heard about it, and some of you confirm it. Because I can see it written on your face. You look at me like, what's wrong with that? Why won't you be blessed in time? The blessings are there. They're ready. They've been ready. You know, God doesn't have to say, oh, there's somebody reaching maturity. Oh, come on, angels. Hey! Get the blessings going. No, they've been waiting since eternity past. And there's one passage that suggests that God is so anxious, if I use the term, an anthropomorphic view, he is so anxious to give us those blessings, he's tapping his foot in anticipation. You know how you do when you're, well, come on, you know, right? Waiting for the microwave? Boy, if that is an impatient individual. Pacing in front of a microwave. What's happened to us, folks? What happened to us? I'm surprised we live longer. You know, I'm surprised the cycle doesn't go something like this. You know, you graduate high school and life starts really getting faster. You pace in front of your microwave, and at 35, you've just paced yourself out, and you're dead. The body says, somebody says, you know, they're in a 35-year-old body, but all their organs are like 80. Of course, if you really want to do that, just take amphetamines. That'll speed up the process, and you'll be dead in a week. I have to rephrase that, lest anybody sue me. Don't do it.
I order you not to do it. Does that clear me legally? I recant the statement. Blessing. Now, why would God want to bless us? Because He knows we need it. But see, here's our problem. We don't know we need it. You know why I know we don't know we need it? Because very few ever attain it. And it's apparent, isn't it, that what you think you need, you do whatever you can do to get, right? Not only do we not think we need it, a lot of believers don't want it. They think it's going to cost them something. Look, if God prepared something for you and for me in eternity past, what's it going to cost you when He's already done it? It's already. And then as I suggested to you as well, the reason why people, for the most part, do not believe the reality of the blessing is because they really don't have a realistic outlook on the eternal state, the future. Are you aware of the fact? Has anyone reminded you recently that you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account? If you are a believer here tonight, you are going to stand before the Lord in that day and give an account. Yeah. Report card time. Some of you live in the light of the fact that not only is there no eternity, but you even doubt that there's a God. And you're a believer. Believer in what? And none of us know when that's going to happen. We could check out tomorrow. You could die on the way home. Look at the obituaries tomorrow if you're still alive. Two things you'll notice. You're still alive because you're not in it. That's what old people do. They check the obituaries. And when they don't see their name in there, they rejoice for the rest of the day. But you'll notice something else. They're not all in their 90s. Nor in their 80s. Or 70s. Or 60s. Some are in their 40s. Some in their 30s. Some in their teens. Life is so uncertain. What does James say about life? He says, it's a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. It's like a candle. You blow it out. A little smoke for a while. A little glitter at the end of the wick. Gone. That's what life is. That's temporal life. That's the life we now live. But you see, we had imputed to us eternal life. You say, well, I know I'm saved. Then live your life in the light of eternity. Not in the light of the temporary. I loved it when I heard this minister of the word say many years ago, the average believer lives their life and the style of their life as if they were going to be on earth for the next 10,000 years. They reserve this and they set this aside and they make that provision and that for whom? For the next person. Because listen, when you're gone, somebody else is going to benefit by it. Is that a shock to you? Some of you are going, what? The only ones that shouldn't be surprised are those that have nothing to leave. And what will people say when you're gone? What about a year after you're gone? Who? Or will it have some impact? You see, death can be a blessing to the survivors as well. Did you know that? In dying grace. Not their dying grace. The one who passed on's dying grace. And the confident assurance that they have under Z Radical, you see, transforms their life because they've completed Y Radical. And the life that they're living now is not with an anticipation of blessing in time. They already have it. They've opened the box. And look how anxious you are when you receive a gift, aren't you? I am. I'm one of those. You know, we buy gifts sometimes hours before Christmas. And we're up until 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, with a scotch tape. And anyway, you're holding it. You write out the stickers and so on. But we have a big pile because we have a big family. And then I'll see to Dad. And I'll pile the others underneath. And you go, right? Folks, your blessing is under the tree. Okay? What tree? The tree of the cross. That's what bought it. And some of you kick it around. Oh, blessing, yeah. Get out of my way. Paul did that. God wanted to bless him in time through suffering. What did he do? He wanted to get rid of it. He's kicking his box around. He thought it was an obstacle. It wasn't an obstacle at all. It was the means of his blessing. See how we don't think right when our perspective is off? I guarantee you, if your life is hell-bent on life, temporal, you're not going to have any eternal perspectives whatever. And your values stink. You'll either be money hungry or success hungry. Nothing wrong with having success, nothing wrong with having money. But see, these are areas that we've already studied under the general heading of blessing in time. So you see, some people try to get their blessing their way. And God says, I'm going to give you my blessing my way. And it's much better than anything you can come up with. See, the difference would be, let's say you had a business and you thought it was a blessing because you had one customer come in that day. When God blesses you, 1,000 customers come in. See, that's the difference. It's just like you're an actor or an actress and you're in front of a group and one person goes, and then you see that they have double hearing aids and the wires are pulled out. They just figure it's the end of the show, so they have to applaud. Everybody else is sitting there just going, now you know how I feel sometimes. Or that's, and you say, well, I got applause on the meter, you know, like this. Did you see that? Now, when you get God's applause, all the angels of heaven rejoice. Today, I went outside to look at the pool, and every so often I have somebody go down cactus. I'm sure it's not the same person, at least I hope they're not. Eventually, they'll be deaf. But the ground actually starts shaking. They've got one of these boom things in their truck. You know, and you have speakers right here. The windows are going, and boom, boom, you can hear it. Boom, 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 boom. And the ground is shaking. Can you imagine what it's going to sound like when we hear the angelic chorus? Hey, that by the way, that's future thing. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, you see, I can tell he's getting ready for eternity because he's getting older. No, that's not when you get ready for eternity. Because you see, when you're ready to die, then you're ready to live. Otherwise, your whole life is lived with your fear of dying. Did you see that? Did you get that? When you've got death taken care of, then you can live. But if you don't, then your whole life is lived in the light of the fact that you're going to die. And the fears that connected with it. And there's no fear in death. What a life. What a life. I'd say bless you, but I'm not sure if he's going to. Jerry missed that. That's okay. His wife will explain it later. You know, when you blow your glasses off, and it's a pretty good indication that there's something in the air. I've asked you this repeatedly. Anyone here doesn't want to be blessed? Let me see your hand. No hands ever go up. You don't want blessing from God. You want to be blessed? Write it down. Yep, sure. You willing to meet the qualification? No. Well, what's it going to cost me? It's already been purchased. Yeah, but that means I got to come to Bible class, and I've got to learn, and I've got to grow, and God's going to bless me. Oh, isn't that terrible? What a way to go. Super grace blessings from the justice of God. Oh. Why is it we don't desire it? Because we can't see it, and therefore we don't claim it by faith. Faith says, I can't see it, but I press on. You see, as soon as you see faith, it's no longer faith. I didn't realize we had so many people in the world that were all born in Missouri. You know what I'm talking about? Show me. And so many men that had the first name Thomas, who doubted.
Yeah, unless I see the nail scars, and unless I can put my hand,
So the Lord walks in and accommodates him. And then he falls to the ground and he says, my Lord and my God. Is that what it took? Others already believed. We had some of the ladies that were so upset. Here he is, already raised from the dead. They're outside crying, blinded by their emotion, and the Lord is speaking to them. And they're blinded by their emotion and their tears. Don't bother me now. Yoo-hoo. It doesn't say yoo-hoo, but you know. That's the modern English translation. How about the two ladies on the road to Emmaus? They were, I love this. Walking along, all of a sudden, the Lord comes out and starts walking with them, conversing. Haven't you heard the news? What's that? Oh, they've crucified the Savior. And some say he's raised from the dead. On and on they went. Blah, 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 blah. Talkative. And finally they realized they're walking with the resurrected Christ. So you see, folks, we haven't changed much. Only the circumstances have changed.
All right, this is what we're all looking for. Let's see how we get it. Last time we took up point G, let's look at it, under 4 points. This is review, so you should have this in your notes. Whenever a hope is replaced by the reality, the believer advances in the plan of God. See, in other words, as a non-believer, you were not in the plan of God. But God's plan for you as a non-believer was to recognize His Son as your Savior. And as soon as you do that, you join the ranks. You sign up for eternity. Have you ever done anything where you signed your name and then somebody said, well, you signed. But I want to get out. You can't. I bet there isn't one person here that has never signed something that they regretted later to having done. It may have been something called like a marriage license, something like that. I did. What, marriage license? No. I signed my signature. I just went like this. Rest of my life, I'm committed to pay Social Security taxes. Can't get out of it. It was stamped right at the bottom. This decision is irrevocable. When you accepted Christ as Savior, you signed on the dotted line. Can't get out of it. And it's for all eternity. What a deal, huh? That's a good one. And yet on top of that, He wants to bless you. I guess that doesn't mean something to some people either. Commitment. Signatures. Responsibility. Obligation. Trustworthiness, faithfulness. I got to tell you what my son told me last night. He met some of his high school cronies, right? Guys that he'd gone to school with. They were sitting there talking, and he says, you know, one thing, he says, I realized, is we're all losers. The whole crowd. What a generation. We're all a bunch of duds. That's a good admission on his part, but I doubt if he'd get it from them.
Dud me? Oh, I've accomplished things.
One guy impressed him with the fact that he was the president of a new company that just began. Got cards printed up. President. Hasn't sold an envelope yet, but he's the president. And he's not even selling envelopes. Looks good. Huh? President. Assistant. President. President of presidents. Just use three letters. CEO.
Ooh. CEO of a corporation. Yeah.
You know what it takes to file for a business in the state of Arizona? You down there and you pay, I don't remember, what was it, $6? $12? You get a little piece of paper that says you can now do business. So you put down, president, CEO, parentheses, big shot. And you know, people are so funny. As long as you have a card.
Do you have a card? Why, certainly.
See, if you have a card, that makes it real. I mean, you could be a multi-billionaire. No card?
What, no card? So if you ever want to be anyone, print cards. Just get a card. President. CEO. Parentheses. President. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Because you promoted yourself. But you see, what I said before is when you have the capacity for blessing, you're going to get it. But not until. Because if you did before you had the capacity, it would destroy you. I had a steak tonight that was probably about that big. We all did, by the way. It was probably about that thick. I couldn't even eat it all. Now, can you imagine me giving the rest of that to an infant? Force feeding it? Here, little one. Gag, choke to death. Number one, you know, they have things missing. Their grinders haven't come in yet. God has a sense of humor. You gum it when you first come into life, and you gum it when you just before you check out. It's a big reversal. You go the full circle. Can't eat it. Has no capacity for it. That which is designed for an adult has the capacity. Now, people that have either abused their stomachs or have some serious ailments with their stomach are reduced to eating Gerbers. Right? They couldn't have a big steak. Can't digest it. They have to eat strained carrots and strained this and smash that and squashed this. No capacity. God says, I'm not going to bless you before you reach capacity, but as soon as you do, I'll give you blessing like you can't believe. And how long does it last? What does the first radical end with? What is the imputation factor here? Eternal life. Z radical begins with the imputation of eternal life. You already have half of the imputation. What's Y end with? Blessing in time. What's the missing factor here? Blessing in time. Notice, eternal life plus blessing in time equals blessing in eternity. You have this factor and you're assured of eternity. You got it back in X radical. But if this is a minus, look at the formula. EL minus BT equals eternal life minus BT. You still have eternal life. That's a plus factor. This is still in the minus factor. Why? Because you never reached blessing in time. And because you didn't reach blessing in time, there's no blessing in eternity. So you lose again. I don't even like that word. And there isn't a person that I spoke to in years that, yeah, I love to lose. When I go to Laughlin, I just love to lose. You know, I love to watch the people. One of the reasons my wife and I go to these places is not to win big, just to have fun. Do you understand? There is such a thing as having fun, losing. Anyway. Never lost huge amounts. We don't have huge amounts to lose. But I love to simply watch the people. the very wealthy are sitting there and they're bitching because they're winning. You know, gold dripping from their toenails and they're still winning. Oh, damn it, 3-7s? Ah, oh, come on. Again, this woman I heard say. So there was a guy sitting me smoking a cigar and he says, "What's the matter with that old bitch?" That's what he said. I'm just quoting him. And I said, I beg your pardon? I thought maybe he knew her. And he says, "Well, I've just been watching her. This woman's been winning for the last 2 hours. And she wins so big that the little guys come, you know, from the IRS. You know you won big then. They take the money right there. All right, let's see. You won so much. We take ours now." And you fill out a little paper. And I've never done that, by the way. So you can see what our big winnings are. But I never get up with the anticipation of saying to my wife, "Dear, let's see how much we can lose today." Huh? But some of you apparently do that with life. You get up, you get out of bed. Let's see. And be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror and say, "Yes, I think I'll lose today. Let's see all the awful things I can do, so at the end of the night, I'm a total loser." Now you do that? You should. Because you are. Sorry to say. You know how I know? Your pursuit of this. Losers don't win. Now that's really deep. Losers don't win. Losers never advance to blessing. They align. Here's their path of life. See, here's the point. Y radical, direct line, blessing and time. Here are they. And here's the blessing and time. What's all this? And you know how attractive that looks to the average person? Look at that. Whoa, look at that life. Whoa. I mean, look at that life. Look how much they've accomplished. But look at it. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at this, and it's a mess. You know why it's a mess? Because that's exactly what it is. It's a mess. Here's God's intent. Zip. Boom. Not this. This is you. This is him. Isn't that great? We have visual aids. You can see that and you're going. That almost looks like what happens to me when I get lost. In an automobile. Jerry and I are in Missouri. So I think we ought to turn here. Huh, Jerry? He says, "Yeah, I think you're right." I didn't realize he had the same lousy sense of direction as I do, and I'm taking suggestions from him. And our wives know that, and they put us in the car together. And there's Nancy and Mary, all right? Shirley and my wife in one car. And they all have a good sense of direction with the possibility of Mary. Well, I know that Nancy does when she's sober. So here we are, and we go past this sign. It's a so-and-so's marine. Ah, I says, "Okay, it's on the right." We make some lefts, we make some rights, ba-bing, 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 and I says, "Hey, there's another place. Same name." But now it's on the left. So we drive a little bit more, and it says, such and such, Missouri, 75 miles. Or however long we had to go. We're going the other way. We're going back to where we started from. Neither one of us knew it. So then finally, we're less than 2 miles from the place we were staying. We couldn't find it. It was at night. And you know, they have trees there. We couldn't find it. We're driving around. Now, the cops are watching us because they're thinking we're casing out this 24-hour service station. And so he says, you know, I think that cop thinks we're going to rip that place off. Out-of-town place. Right? So finally we pull up and we stop. Of all things, I leave the engine running with the headlights on. I get out and I walk in there to ask the guy directions. There they are. The cops are out there. So we finally get home 2.5 hours after the ladies got home. And we left 15 minutes before they did. And you know they had to stop at least 3 times. Right, ladies? With 4 ladies in the car? Oh, I can imagine. And so they're going, where have you been? Well, we're winners. No, losers. We couldn't find our hands. See my hand? Jerry says, no, that's mine. I said, no, that's mine. That's how we felt. That's how stupid we felt. And it wasn't that we made a wrong turn. How about turns? When you're in one city for a half hour going by the same place 4 times, attacking it from 4 different directions, that's what was beautiful. Well, let's take this street. And we take the street, we end up at, I know it's on the left, we turn left, all right, right. Boom, there it is again. Johnson Outboards. Weber's Marine, or whatever it was. Twice on the right, twice on the left. Now, did we do that intentionally? No. But what you do intentionally. I had no control over that. Honestly. I didn't. I didn't know where I was. I had no guidance. And God doesn't say to you, all right, no map. I want you to end up in a certain place. Start now. Call the Christian life. No. There's explicit directions, detailed information. Don't turn there. Go straight there. See that sign? Stop there. Make a left at that. You've got inside help. I'm sure at least one of you Pharisees is sitting there saying, well, if you'd have been filled with the Spirit, you'd have had divine guidance. We had divine guidance. Because Jerry and I had a lot of fun in the meantime laughing. Sitting there frustrated on the side of the road. Now run away, there, die! See? Didn't help! Or we'd have gotten there 2 hours before if you hadn't prayed. No, I understand. Since you opened your mouth, I figured I'd give it to you. Don't let your life be just wandering, wandering, wandering aimlessly without direction. Everyone that runs a race has a goal. Can you imagine the Olympics, some guy getting out there and just starting to run? Somebody says, where are you going? I'm running! What's your objective? I don't have any. And I always feel sorry for the guy that comes in last. You understand anybody could have come in last? Edna could have come in last. Wheezing. Well, I'm here. 2 hours later. Well, you're last.
Well, at least I ran the race.
Some of you aren't even on the track. You're running somewhere else. God wants to bless you. That's why I couldn't say when he sneezed, bless you. Because what I say doesn't mean that. If that were the case, by the way, I'd go like this. I'd say, everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Blessing! Like Holyfield. Have you heard about Holyfield? Well, as you know, he has a heart condition. So he went to a faith healer. Faith healer says now he's healed of his heart condition. The doctors say, yeah, it remains to be seen. Guy gets in the ring, you know what's going to happen. But he's convinced he's healed. I'm not saying that God couldn't heal him. But I can't, and I have no magic words. Well, I do. Come to Bible class tomorrow night. We'll get the second phase of this. See, that's the way it works. And Thursday night, we'll get the third phase of it. And Sunday morning, we'll get another one. And Sunday evening, another phase. All different phases leading to the same direct line to blessing. That's what it's all about. Well, we really thundered through point one, didn't we? Actually, we didn't even finish point one. So we'll get to that tomorrow night. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Father, for challenging us, again realizing afresh that you have a plan for us. That plan has a purpose, and the purpose is our blessing. We're amazed to realize that not only would you save us, but then bless us. What grace. Dismiss us now as we're continually thinking on these things. Put our lives in perspective with thy truth. In Christ's name, amen. See you tomorrow night.